good afternoon. It is, once again, one bell of the afternoon watch. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair for our weekly muster. My greetings today go out to all hands who contributed to the Old Man Winter campaign. I just met with the ever-lovely Kate, who is the executive director for the Voice of Bashan, and asked her whether we had met the Old Man Winter goal so that I'd be able to report to you that your donations and your contributions put us over the top. And she said that she was waiting for her bookkeeper to give her a report as to the completeness of the mission. I then went on to ask her whether some people who have sent donations in and for whom their checks had not yet cleared, whether or not she had received those, and she has assured me I was able to give her names, and she assured me that those have been received and that they would be deposited forthwith. We did not further define the term forthwith, but it will happen soon. I had donations from at least one of my XOs, so the XO-captain relationship remains firm and sturdy, as it has for all of the years that we went to sea together. It warms the cockles of this sea captain's black heart to know that there are so many of you out there who not only listen, but are financial supporters of The Voice, because it is that that allows me to, every week, climb up into the captain's chair and have our time together. The binnacle list is not a particularly good one this week in that I am putting myself on it. All of Captain Joe's people who are on the binnacle list, every week I have always said that all of you are in the palm of my hand, that we spin the prayer wheel for everybody who is on the binnacle list, whether it be physical or mental, emotional, financial, whatever your placement on the binnacle list has caused you to be there. Now I'm adding myself. In the last week, I've had some pretty serious back and joint challenges, and I am hopeful that I can get in to see a practitioner soon so that we can fix this, because I don't have time for this kind of "who struck John." That was one of my father's favorite expressions, "who struck John." It's not pejorative to people named John. It is pejorative to things that are going south. And actually, for me, going south was always a good thing, because that, of course, is where Antarctica is. Anyway, I digress, as I often do. And so the binnacle list next week, I hope that I will be able to find and see a practitioner. I've consulted with my friend and colleague, Captain O'Brien, who was on the binnacle list for a long time with back and joint issues. And I had that consultation with him this morning before I came on the air. He was not particularly helpful in that he, like me, practices medicine without a license. And he told me how long his had gone on. Anyway, there we have it. No whining, mewling, nor puking, just a statement of fact that your captain is now, at least for hopefully a short period of time, on the Benico list, and that's what's going on. In the last week, I had the celebration of two birthdays. One, my daughter, Heather's son. And we had that celebration out at Point Robinson. She had rented both houses for the long weekend. And she had not only Nick and Simonzi, my granddaughter, but also her cousin and her cousin's son and some friends. So we had both houses full. And I was asked to be a part of the celebration. So the friend that came up with the family was Jackie spells it J-A-C-I. Interesting spelling. And Casey and Dean, who were with us and who had never been onto the magical island before. And Jackie in particular was charmed by the place, charmed by the captain, charmed by everything about it all. And it was just lovely having them here and to be a part of the great celebration. Because birthdays, even though birthdays are inexorable, they come and add a year to the chronological value of our time on this earth, on this planet. But they are worth celebrating. So the second one was a celebration last night for, first of all, Michelle. That is Michelle, who owns the chain of kitty vending machines that we have here on the island. Whenever you come on the island and you want or need a kitty, you go to one of the vending machines and put in your money and you get a kitty out. So it was her birthday and then Skip from my road family. And so we had a birthday celebration, and I always write a poem. I get a card, and I found a series of cards that when you open them up, they pop up really neat. A little bit of paperwork engineering. And I write a verse to go with each one of the cards. And I custom tailor the verse to the recipient. They are not complicated verses. They are not a particularly intellectually strong, but they are loving, and it's something that I have done for many, many years. So we've had birthday celebrations, and I am declaring right here that for my 50th birthday, which comes in November this year, that I have rented quarters A for a three-day weekend. And that is where my 50th birthday celebration is going to be held. And it will be island-wide. It will be Coast Guard-wide. It will be from the captain's chair-wide. Anybody who is one of Captain Joe's people and is able to come on that weekend. And when we get closer to it, I'll talk more about it. I've got two books. They are not the books of the week, and I am announcing them here only because I want the people who sent them to me to be aware that I have gotten them and they are being added into my reading list. The first one is about the 44-foot motor lifeboat that was lost on the Columbia River Bar a number of years ago. And this was a was lent to me by one of the commissioners on the Vashon Park District. I am a member of the Vashon Park District family, have been ever since I've lived on the island and have been involved with Point Robinson Light. That involvement continues today and will be made even happier as soon as we get the new flagpole up. We had to take the old one down before it fell on somebody. And so right now, we don't have a flag flying out at Point Robinson, and that bothers me enormously. We've ordered a new flagpole at vast expense. It's going to be permanently installed. It's going to be one that will live certainly as long as I do and unto the next generation. But in the meantime, we are not flying the flag out at Point Robinson. I'm going to be looking at see if we can't come up with some sort of a temporary arrangement. In any case, the first book that I've mentioned is about the loss of that 44-footer out on the Columbia River Bar. And the second one is about El Faro, loyal and dedicated and constant listeners to your captain from the captain's chair will remember my discussion of the sinking of El Faro. She was lost several years ago in an Atlantic hurricane, and a gal by the name of Rachel Slade has written a book about it called Into the Raging Sea. Now, the two books that I've just described, I am going to read, and I'm going to report on them, and when I've read them, they will become my books for those particular weeks. In the meantime, I continue my journey with John Adams, soon to be followed by the book about the finding of Endurance. I'm really looking forward to that one because Endurance and the Shackleton story are near and dear to my heart and to my soul. So Rachel has written this book. I've read Rachel's biography. She does not seem to have much in the way of seagoing experience. So when people write books about, in particular, marine disasters, marine tragedies, or they write books about areas in which they have no personal experience, I'm particularly critical of books like that. And I am particularly critical because I have endured more than one Atlantic hurricane, more than one Pacific typhoon. I've commanded ships in both. And I will be looking forward to reading what Rachel has to say about this particular situation, and I will be talking about it when we get to it. I had an interesting experience with Blossom, my black cat with the feline hyperthyroidism. I had heard nothing from the practice. I've left messages for them, but did not get any reply. So I decided that the time had come for me to make a personal expedition to their site. They do have a website, and I got the address, and they proclaimed that they had hours in which they were open. So I made the hours of my voyage to their practice coincidental with the hours that they proclaimed that they were open. I got into my motor car, and I have to confess that I did indeed put into the map program how to get to the feline hyperthyroidism practice. It turns out that it is on, in Tacoma on Pacific Avenue. Now, for those of you who are familiar with Seattle, Pacific Avenue is the Tacoma version of Aurora. It is one small and somewhat chancy business after another. You can get your hair cut. You can buy marijuana. You can buy auto parts, but not from a Napa store. There are any number of things that you can do or that you can buy on this, on Pacific Avenue, this little stretch of Pacific Avenue. I thought this is a strange place for an animal hospital to be located. I drove by it once, twice before I saw on the storefront the name of the FHP, and then in small type below that, feline hyperthyroidism practice. I found a place to park illegally, and noticing the personality of this particular area, I did not think that there would be a great deal of activity from the Tacoma traffic control and parking enforcement people, and I was right. So I parked illegally and walked up to the door of the practice, and I noticed two things. The first one was that the front window of this storefront, for that's what it was, had been covered over with large sheets of brown paper. And the second thing I noticed was that the door was closed, and as I tried to open it, it was disclosed that it was also locked. This in violation of their proclamation of their working hours. So I shook it, and very quickly the door was opened by a very small young lady. And she said, what do you want? And I said, I brought my calendar, and I want to book an appointment for my cat who has feline hyperthyroidism. And I was despairing of ever hearing from you because I sent you signals and flags in the air, sent you signals and got no reply. So she said, well, come right on in. And what is the name of your cat? Blossom. And what is your surname? Wubold. Blossom Wubold. And I'm Captain Joe, and that's how you have me in your records. Oh, yes, I remember that. So she, in the meantime, I'm looking into the rest of this place, and I did not see anybody else there. Were there cats there? They were certainly not proclaiming their presence in the way that cats normally do. And she said, the reason the door is locked is that this is not a particularly savory neighborhood, and I'm often here alone. And this small person, this small girl, I guess she was maybe 25, something like that. I could see why it was a good idea for that door to be locked. And I said, where are all your patients? And she said, well, right now we don't have any in residence. I can get you in on Wednesday. And I said, I can't do anything in the rest of this month. What have we got in early February? And I brought my calendar so we can put it right on the calendar. So she said, how about the 6th of February? Done. Agreed. On the calendar. But the interesting thing about this, several interesting things about it. First of all, it's in a storefront. Secondly, it's in a particularly unsavory neighborhood with some unsavory people drifting around. One can see them adrift out there. And the number and all this practice does is deal with hyperthyroidism in cats. So it remains to be seen how all of this is going to turn out. Now, moving on, I want to, and I'm going to talk just a little bit about the Red Sea. Since we last convened together, a American-owned ship, the motor vessel Gibraltar Eagle, owned by the Eagle Bulk Shipping Company, which is an American company, and the Gibraltar Eagle is flagged in the Marshall Islands. Marshall Islands are a protectorate of the United States. Hit by a missile in the Gulf of Aden, a missile which came from Yemen. What's happening in the Red Sea right now is that the level of confrontation is ramping up. It is causing me to have sphincter clenching that is particularly troublesome, that this could get away from us. I hope that wiser heads will keep all of this under control. And one of the things that seems to me has to happen is that the source of these missiles in Yemen has to be taken out. That has to be done surgically, and it has to be done before there are other confrontations that happen actually out on the water. I will, of course, continue to be watching this as it opens out, and we will be talking about it. The Russians, in the meantime, are starting to ship liquefied natural gas, LNG, using ice-strengthened tankers. This one is particularly of interest to me because this whole idea, this idea of using ice-strengthened tankers with icebreaker escort is the subject of my thesis for my master's degree at the University of Cambridge. Anybody who is interested in reading that, and I know that you thirst in your souls to read this particular document, can find it by going on to the website for the Scott Poer Research Institute, and it will lead you by the hand to where you can get into all of the lists of master's theses which are in the archive. In the meantime, there is, again with the Russians, there is one nuclear-powered merchant vessel still afloat. You all will remember that the U.S. effort at this was the Savannah. Savannah is, she's not yet, I think, been broken up, but I do know that she is she's not working. But the Russians have an ice-strengthened cargo ship, and she caught on fire in Murmansk not too long ago. And the idea that nuclear powered ships, if they catch on fire, there is always the danger of radiation leakage. The Russians are saying that in this particular case, that the Sevmorput, for that is her name, did not leak any radiation. There was not any danger to anybody. Let us hope that they are telling us the truth. The Navy, just in the last couple of weeks, has now relieved two commanding officers. One of them is of the USS Georgia. She is a ballistic missile submarine. She's operating in the Middle East right now, and she has two crews. She has a blue and a gold crew. I've never liked that idea, and always hope that the Coast Guard never falls into that particular trap. A crew should belong to a particular ship. They should own that ship. They should care for her, because that ship is their home. And so in any case, the boomers, the nuclear-powered ballistic missile submarines have blue and gold crews. And commanding officer, the captain of one of those crews, the blue crew, has been relieved. And as is customary, the Navy has not told us why, just that her boss had decided that he had lost confidence in the ability to command of that particular commanding officer. The second one is a squadron that's deployed in the Carl Vinson. Electronic Attack Squadron VAQ-136. The reason for this is the command climate, quote, unquote, command climate. Well, I know something about command climates, and my guess is that this particular commanding officer had not fulfilled his responsibilities and his obligations, not only to the mission, but also to his crew. What's troubling to me is that in a two-week period, I get signals that tell me about the relief of two Navy commanding officers, which leads me to wonder how the command selection boards are going at their work. How are they vetting the people that they are assigning as commanding officers? As I do not sit on those boards, I have sat on command selection boards for the Coast Guard. I know how we do it. I know how careful we are about it. And even so, every now and then, just as in any other highly selective operation, people will slip through. The out on the federal anchorage, right off of Captain's Quarters, right off of my deck, is a car carrier. She has the wonderful name of the Morning Conductor. She's flagged in Panama. She's owned by a Norwegian company. She's managed by a South Korean company. She is insured in Norway. And so if she is in any kind of an accident, remember the car carrier that rolled over outside the port of Savannah, Golden Ray, had to be cut up in place, could not be righted, that there are all of those countries are going to be involved in the investigation. She was loaded in Japan. She's down to her marks, which means that she's loaded with motor cars right this very minute and is waiting for a berth, apparently waiting for a berth in Tacoma so that she can offload. Loaded in Japan, so she is carrying Japanese cars. We don't know what ones are inside her, but in any case, I mention her because, first of all, she's been there for now a couple of days, and we don't normally have car carriers stay on the anchorage that long. And secondly, that she's of interest to me and thus to you because of the involvement of all of those different countries should she ever be in an accident. I mentioned the USS Georgia. The Coast Guard cutter Maui fired some warning shots at swarm boats, which were swarming around the Georgia. This is in the Gulf of Aden. And Georgia, of course, has just lost one of her commanding officers, the Coast Guard cutter Maui, which is a patrol boat in the island class. Now we are directly involved at the protection of ships like the USS Georgia. And so once these warning shots were fired, the swarm boats took off. That may not happen the next time. We all of us need to be prepared for both in the Middle East and in the South China Sea for improvident people escalating and ramping up the activity. So your captain is watching all of these things. The last thing, it is over my time. So this is your Captain Joe. I'm going to put the other things on for next week. And this is your Captain Joe. I am on station and watching properly. I will let you know next week how the binnacle list goes, how I get off of it. And we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again.